Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Ken, and greetings to all of our listeners out there.
And we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners. Thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. That's allowed us to stay on the air for some 40 years now. Allows us to bring you shows like today's. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anybody else that comes to the door. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. We're also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or give Maureen a call here at In His Sign and she can put you in touch with Father or I. Just a couple of announcements before we get started here. Our Matt Talbot Shrine in St. Gabriel Church in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia, 29th and Dickinson, is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 9 a.m. to 6 o'clock p.m. And on Tuesdays at 6, we have our Calyx meeting. So if you wanted to come to Calyx, come down later in the day and make a visit to the church, the shrine, and then stick around for our Calyx meeting. There's a Matt Talbot retreat coming up at the end of April. It's going to be April 29th to May the 1st. This retreat is for men that are in recovery. And Father McKay will actually be the retreat director for that weekend. So all our all men in recovery certainly welcome to attend. And speaking of retreats, I'll be directing a Serenity retreat for women. It's going to be a midweek retreat, Wednesday, May 18th through Friday, May 20th. Both of these retreats you can register online at malvernretreat.com, or you can call the retreat house at 610-644-0400. And speaking of May the 1st, Father's already going to be out at Malvern when we start to gather on Sunday afternoon for the annual Wake Up America dinner. Always a great event. This year it's going to be held Sunday, May the 1st from 1:30 to 5:30 p.m. The event highlights include a keynote address by Kathleen McCarthy. A number of the broadcasters, engineers, and volunteers will be on hand. There'll be a silent auction as well as drawings for raffle prizes. And added new this year, we are looking for sponsors. So if you can help us out by sponsoring the event in a way, in a couple of different ways available, we would certainly appreciate it. You can get all the information about the dinner at our website at inhissign.com. If you scroll to the bottom of the homepage, you'll see a link there to download a flyer that includes a part you can mail back with your check in order to reserve your tickets or a table. And there's also a second link there if you're interested in becoming a sponsor, the various sponsorship levels and how you can go about registering as a sponsor for this event. Anything you can do to help us is absolutely appreciated. It allows us, like I say, to continue to bring you shows like today's. Also, just a note to circle the date on your calendar. That'll be Monday, October the 10th, is our second annual fundraiser that we have each year, and that's our golf outing. Again, this year we'll be returning to Old York Road Country Club up in Springhouse, Pennsylvania. It's always a great day. So for the time being, just circle the date on your calendar and we'll roll out more details as they become available. All right, let's pray. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. And the following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery in St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot in St. Monica.
Pray for us.
St. Maximilian Kolbe in St. Mark G.
Pray for us.
St. John of God.
Pray for us.
Saints Michael, Gabriel, and Rayfield.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
And all the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. Name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, this is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join in the conversation. The number's 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance, perhaps over our website at inhissign.com, you can reach us toll-free at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. Especially want your phone calls when we go to the break at the bottom of the hour. If you care to share is that odd or is that God moment in your life, the time where, God has jumped right in the middle of your life and presented something or gave you a thought or put somebody in your path, found a dime, whatever it might be. So we'll remind you before we go to the break to give us a call if you care to witness to our listeners. Not a big deal. Just like talking to Father or I on the phone. You just got few thousand people listening to you.
Yeah.
We think too, Ken.
We had so many heartfelt calls last week.
Yeah.
You know, people really hurting, with children, addictions and all, and just calling in and just being able to pray and just sensing the Holy Spirit working through these airwaves, touching so many hearts. So be not afraid. Call in.
Amen. And, even as you say that, Father, I'm thinking, last Thursday morning, we were in the sacristy after Mass at St. Richard's, and one of the women came in who's listens faithfully, and talked about, and I shouldn't say talked, not as in gossip, but mentioned that she had been listening on the prior day, and how her heart went out to Frank and Eric and named them by name. So our listeners are listening, and we tell our stories and let people know what's going on in our lives. I assure you that there are many, many people out there that are listening and praying for you when you bare your heart like that. So, always interesting to me how God works, especially through poor vessels like us.
The power of intercession. My last homily here was just the group, our private group here, and it was talking about Moses trying to calm God down. God's threatening to destroy the people, and Moses saying, easy, God, take my life and all. And this is the reading for tomorrow. But God relents because Moses intervenes with that power of intercession. It's not that God changes his mind. God's the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, forever. He never changes. But that reading tomorrow that's coming up in the first reading, it's really to show the power of intercession. And that's what we do here. We intercede for one another. God hears those prayers. They go up to heaven, and he rains down graces and healing graces, transforming love. So remember that gift that we have to pray for one another. Life is fragile. Handle it with prayer.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. All that said, we are in the fourth week of Lent, and only have one saint in the calendar this week, and that will be on Saturday the 2nd. It's Saint Francis of Paola, who happened to be a hermit. And Father and I have been chatting just about all month about when are we going to get Saint Joseph, and here it is, the month of Saint Joseph. We celebrated his feast day on March the 19th, just about 2 weeks ago. And, we actually figured it. I don't even know if a whole show is enough for him, but we wanted to talk.
Of course, is on him.
Yeah, yeah. And it's interesting. You could have a whole course on St. Joseph, and, it's a man who maybe there's a dozen verses in all the scripture that talk about him, and nary a word from him. So. But this whole theology has, developed a bit because of the things that we can surmise. And, whether it's implied or explicit, things that we know about St. Joseph just because of the times he lived in and the things that we know that he did do. And so one of the beautiful things that happened for a lot of people last year, being the year of St. Joseph, was many people did a consecration to Jesus through Joseph, using that book by Father Donald Calloway. And I was blessed to lead two different Calyx groups in that effort. And in Father Calloway's books, there's so many things that are revealed about St. Joseph that, you know, some of them were fact, some of them were legend, and some of them certainly implied. You know, this idea that St. Joseph was an old man when he, you know, was betrothed and gets together with Mary. And, you know, when you think about it, you know, how old could this guy be if he travels from Galilee to or from Nazareth to Bethlehem, and then, you know, basically walks from Bethlehem to Egypt, and then back from Egypt to Nazareth again. And he certainly couldn't have been an old man, or if he was, he was in extremely good health. But I think sometimes, carpenter, but I think sometimes they, you know, they give us this image of an old man because a young man would never be able to be chased. And yet it's, you know, so many of our priests, of course, are called to chastity, and certainly they can live out that life, and Joseph could have too. But the things that he went through, and I'm sure it was not an easy life to find out that the woman that you're betrothed to is all of a sudden pregnant, but no man's involved, and how he was willing to, just kind of get out of the picture and you know, not to bring her scandal, and yet the angel tells him that, you know, everything's under control. You know, you need to trust God, and he'll take care of it. And I think for those of us that struggle with addiction, is one of the messages for me, is that, you know, the circumstances of Joseph's life certainly weren't ideal, and yet through it all, God was there, even in the times where he may have doubted or wondered if, you know, he could really fulfill this role. And yet God was there and gave him all the grace that he needed in order to do it. But some of the, you know, just a couple of things I was thinking about today, knowing we were going to talk about Joseph and coming out of Father Calloway's book. A lot of folks know about the House of Loretto, which, you know, is believed to be the actual house that the Holy Family lived in Nazareth, and currently, you know, sits in Loretto. But what I didn't know and learned through that experience was that that house actually moved three or four different times. That it initially went from Nazareth to Croatia, from Croatia to one side of the mountain in Loretto, and then moved to the other side of the hill. And, you know, when they went and looked at where the house had been in Nazareth and measured it out, and, you know, everything in Loretto was identical to what it would have been in Nazareth. The materials were off, you know, materials that were only found in Nazareth, those types of things. One of the other interesting things was that there's actually, and I forget if it's Joseph's wedding band or Mary's wedding band, but their rings are actually in Italy. And I never knew that they were still in existence until having gone through that process. But to consecrate ourselves to Jesus through Joseph and have him as our protector, there's the ability to watch over us, keep us close to Jesus, to intercede for us with his son. And you'll probably mention this, but, you know, the idea, and I'm a firm believer now too, you know, Jesus had to get his male DNA from somewhere, right? And why not have it be a replication of Joseph's DNA, and so that he could actually be the physical son, or at least have the physical DNA of his earthly father. And so, you know, just he's one of those people that when I get to heaven, he's one of the ones that I want to be able to sit down and talk to. There's a few people that are like that, Maximilian Kolbe, Matt Talbot, certainly. But St. Joseph, I think, is one that probably a lot of people want to get to when they get there and find out what it was really like and get a, you know, the firsthand experience that he had as the father of the Messiah, the father of the Savior of the line of David. So, you know.
Yeah, I was just hearing St. Joseph say, tell Ken that he can talk to me now, and I'll talk to him.
There you go.
Sometimes it's not in the human language, but yeah. Certainly is in inspirations.
Yeah.
Anyway, Ken, he has so many titles, and one title we all relate to is the patron of a happy death. And I often thought, you know, why Joseph would die before the crucifixion. You know, Joseph could have been a consolation to Jesus. You know, but I realized that God the Father, it would have been asking too much, you know, for Joseph to stand at that foot of the cross and see them beat up his son the way they did. If he wouldn't foil the plan of salvation, it would have been too hard for him to really see that. And so in God's mercy and love, fatherly love, he took him home early, you know. But the patron of happy death, that Jesus would be there and also Mary would be there as Joseph would take his last breath. And one of the things, Ken, the Little Sisters of the Poor, they have such a powerful devotion to St. Joseph. Every Wednesday, the Mass is in thanksgiving for St. Joseph. And they carry a little statue of St. Joseph in their little purse where they hold their rosaries. And I said, what a wonderful idea. So I start carrying the statue for years and years and years with my oils along with my miraculous medal in my pocket. And when my father took a stroke at the shore, we all had to go down there. And I remember getting out of the car to go into the hospital there. And all of a sudden, the statue falls out of my pocket, out of the packet, out of my pocket, onto the ground. I pick up the little statue of St. Joseph, and I kiss it. And I realize my father's going to have a happy death. And then we went in there, Ken. And when we went in there, the nurse was saying, you know, your father's brain dead, and we can take off the ventilator now. The family's all here. And so, you know, we're saying the prayers. I did the anointing. And right at the last minute, before they would pull the ventilator off, the nurse says, did your father have a living will? I said, well, no, but we all know my father's will. Sorry, this has to go through the ethics committee. So, you know, my family had to go home, and Joe Kahl, his mother had a house at the shore. That's where my mother went and my sister. And also, I stayed at the hospital, and I slept all night long in that unit, you know, listening to this ventilator all night long. I could hear the devil at my back saying, look what he's doing to your father, you know. And my father would always go to a Mass every morning, and I remember it was like early in the morning, and I said, Dad, I'm going to go over to the Mass, Our Lady of the Angels. And I went over there, and when I got in my car, Ken, you probably remember me telling this story, all of a sudden it comes on, service soon. I said, now what? And I looked at the glove compartment and it made me look at my manual. And here was my picks. And I said, hey, what? You know, here's my picks. I'm going to bring the Blessed Sacrament back, you know, when they do take the ventilator off, have the Blessed Sacrament on my father. So I talked to the priest after Mass, and he let me take the Blessed Sacrament back. And by this time, I guess around noontime, that we're all gathered again, and a doctor comes up and he said, Father, I really apologize because, you know, we could have done this over the phone, myself and another doctor, and you wouldn't have to go through this. But right there, you know, I said, that's all right, doctor, we're all here right now, and that's what matters. And so talk about a happy death, Ken. And, you know, I was with the Little Sisters of the Poor, and I saw a lot of happy deaths, you know, the hour of death. I wrote a book, Heaven's Homecoming, on it. But here with my father, it was like he had blue on, and, you know, the Blessed Sacrament's on him. We're all praying the rosary and singing hymns and praying the rosary. And I'm looking at the lines after they take the ventilator off them, and the numbers are dropping. And the line's going across, and it's making M's, and then a line, and then an M, and a line, and then an M. And as it drops more and more, coming close to, you know, where he would just be gone, that we get to the Hail Holy Queen. And at the words, after this exile, show unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Beep. And then we ended the rosary. And it was just so, you know, words fall short to experience a happy death that was. And I remember the priest came in, we were all, you know, we left my dad there, and we were in the room with the family, and Father had come over, and then he came into the room to give us some consolations. He said, "I anointed your father." I said, "Well, I anointed him. My father, he passed away." He said, your father passed away?" He said, "I thought he was sleeping." That's how beautiful he looked, Ken. He had a radiance on him. But there it is, St. Joseph, and that statue falling out of my pocket, and that we're all going to come to our hour. And Jesus and Mary and Joseph and the angels are all going to be around us, you know. And it's going to be happy. As long as we're faithful to the Lord, he's faithful to us. He'll be right there because Jesus will take that last breath. He'll die our death for us. And together we'll go to the Father, to that place in heaven, to those verdant pastures beside restful waters with all of our loved ones, with Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, and all our loved ones. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? St. Joseph, the patron of a happy death, Ken.
Amen. And you know, he's got many titles. One of the, and going through that consecration, we'd often pray the litany to St. Joseph, and my favorite title for him was "A Terror of Demons." I mean, it's like he's like a superhero. And Father Calloway contracted with a couple different artists to do some artwork for the book, and the picture of him as the Terror of Demons. You know, it's got him with the axe in the hand, and you know, when you think about it, you know, Mary's the one that's going to, you know, crush the head of the serpent, and you know, she's doing it, and she was born through the Immaculate Conception, right? So she's born without original sin, and so, you know, our good friend Michael, I'm sure, is listening. You know, she didn't suffer with concupiscence, and but Saint Joseph did, and he goes on to lead this chaste life. We talk about his, you know, how virtuous he was. God calls him a righteous man. And for us, normal is not the right word, but for, you know, for the 99.99999% of us that were born with original sin, he's a hero. I mean, this is a man that, you know, is just like you and I, born just the same way that we were, and yet led this virtuous life. And so Satan has to hate him as much as the Blessed Mother, if not more. Because, like I said, I mean, I don't know that Mary necessarily had an advantage. I mean, Lord knows she suffered almost as much as her son did, if not more. And but Joseph, just like you and I, and yet, you know, had many of the same struggles. Now, God saw fit to have him leave this earth before Jesus Christ would suffer the passion. And I know we've talked about this before too, that, you know, maybe God did it because Joseph would have interfered and, you know, "You're not going to crucify my son." But despite that, Satan has to, you know, look at Joseph and say, you know, this is the guy we really got to get after. This is, you know, he's doing it, and he's just a mere mortal, you know, and yet, Joseph, you know, comes through with flying colors and follows the commands of God, if you will, and does them pretty well. And, you know, to the point where, you know, he is held in high regard in our church. I don't think there's a church on the planet that doesn't have a statue or an icon or a picture of Joseph in it. And, but oftentimes I think he's the, you know, the quiet guy, the one that was, that had been, in the background. You know, it was always, certainly always Jesus and, you know, so many devoted to the Blessed Mother, but Joseph was kind of the forgotten soul. And I think that was the beauty of last year when, you know, Pope Francis declared it to be the year of St. Joseph, which was interesting in and of itself because we didn't find out about it until after it had started. And here we had a whole year that was dedicated in, you know, various parishes and organizations that, you know, took up the cause. And I think more people today know more about the life of St. Joseph than they knew prior to last year. And certainly the number of people that have a devotion to him has certainly grown in the last 15 months or so.
the hidden one,
right.
Just like the Father,
right.
You know, so humble, hidden. When in grade school, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, so also a strong devotion to Joseph. And Ken, I do it till today. You know, even our thank you notes, I always put JMJ. And that started way early in the grade school. We always put on top of our copybooks JMJ, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And when we got a punishment for talking in class or whatever, it was like, okay, 300 times, 500 times, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And I remember, you know, I would even have my punishments already written out in case I did get caught talking or misbehaving. But I would write down like 25 lines, Jesus, 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 and then 25 down next to it, Mary, 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 Joseph, 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 Joseph. I was saying that in my sleep. But really, it's like the three hearts are together. And somewhere along the line, it becomes like, you know, Jesus and Mary. And we forget. We forget Joseph. And I think that's God the Father's design, because he's hidden like the Father. But that, you know, the three hearts are one. And how powerful those hearts are. And just, you know, they go together. They go together. And you look at the lives of the saints, like St. Teresa Avila carried the statue of St. Joseph when she went to her different Carmels. Brother Andre, even the miraculous medal. You know, Mary comes from a portrait of St. Joseph. Or Fatima, you know, Joseph appears. That Joseph is so so much a part of everything. And, you know, it's always Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, that the three hearts are one, and our hearts are one with that. And it shows us really the family, the eternal family, that God has no grandchildren. We're all his children, you know, in that holy family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And even the little sister, St. John Jagan, you know, really a great devotion to Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. She saw all the elderly and all the little sisters as one family of God, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Powerful.
Amen. I want to give out the numbers again. Last week we had a bunch of calls in the first half of the show, and we're 0-for so far. So the phone number is 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or call us toll-free at 888-34-FAITH, 888-343-2484. We got just a couple minutes before we go to the break. You know, like I said, up until last year, you know, Joseph had been, for me too, that hidden, the hidden saint, the hidden figure in the Holy Family. And, you know, when having gone through that consecration and, really learning the man that he had to be and the role model that he can be, for anyone, I suppose women included, because obviously women are called to live lives of virtue as well, but especially for us men to depend on him, to look to him, and you know, that there's nothing that we're going to go through in life, I think, that he didn't have to experience. You know, the idea that he learns in a message, you know, from the angel that, you know, Herod's coming for his son. And I can't imagine what it would be like to be woken up from sleep and having had that message and all of a sudden have to pack up my family. And this is, you know, before cars, before trains, before planes. And, you know, who knows if they even had their own mule. But to pack up a family with a young baby and make that trek from Bethlehem to Egypt. And I don't think there's many things I've been asked to do in my life that come anywhere close to that, and yet it reminds me that no matter what God asks us to do, the grace to handle it always comes first, and God certainly gave Joseph all the grace he needed, and that's what allowed him to do the things that he did, and to be the superhero, if you will, that he was. So we are at the bottom of the hour, so we're going to take a short break. Again, the number's 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, 888-343-2484. 8-4. Give us a call if God's touched you in a particular way over the last couple of weeks. We'd love to hear from you. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Every experience God gives us, every person He puts in our lives, is the perfect preparation for a future only God can see. My name is Anne McGlone, and I am sharing this inspiration with you today during this powerful radio program in His Sign Catholic Radio Network, hosted by Kathleen McCarthy. The Lord called Kathleen to prepare us for a future only God can see. This is a program and a radio network which captures, elevates, inspires, and catechizes the hearts of all who listen. Kathleen is preparing hearts through this ministry as she ministers in hospital rooms privately, global conferences, and personal prayer times with individuals who listen and perfect strangers in the street. The Lord is inviting you today to become a faithful listener, for He wants you to set your heart on fire through this radio network. Are you willing to listen in the silence of your heart? This is the question the Lord is asking you. God bless you.
To you, our faithful family of listeners, no words can express how much we appreciate your standing in the gap with us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It is truly your amazing prayer power, your undaunting commitment that has enabled us to stay on the air, no doubt about it. Be assured of our daily prayers, not only for you, but for your families as well. We pray that God will continue to bless you as you bless us. To join us and become a ministry partner, visit our website at inhissign.com or give us a call at 610-527-2906.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and Father Douglas McKay. And again, we want to thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. If you haven't visited our website recently, please visit inhissign.com and check it out. I mentioned that there's links about the Wake Up America dinner at the bottom of the homepage. Also, if you miss a show, any of the shows during the week, you can go to the website and click on content and then podcasts. Try to get the recorded shows up as quickly as possible. I think right now we're about 1 week behind. So if you miss a show and want to catch up, that's a great way to do it. Father McKay and I got together because of our joint desire to help folks that were in recovery to get back to their Catholic faith. And the way we got together was through the Calyx Society. And it's a great organization for folks that are in 12-step programs. We meet every Tuesday night in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia at the Annex Building, the St. Gabriel Church at the corner of 30th and Dickinson. The entrance to the building is actually on Myrtlewood Street. There's a magnet on the door that says Calyx Society on Tuesdays when we're there. Come through the door, come up 6 flights of steps. That's right. It's not for the faint of heart, but you can give up your membership at the gym if you come every Tuesday. We start with the Angelus at 6 o'clock, followed by a short adoration period and benediction, and then have Mass, followed by our Calyx meeting. Again, that's every Tuesday. On the third Tuesday of the month, we're in St. Gabriel Church at the corner of 29th and Dickinson, and we have a holy hour from 6 to 7, during which we'll have exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, confessions are heard, we pray some prayers through the intercession of Matt Talbot. And then at 7 o'clock, we celebrate Mass together. All are more than welcome to come and join us, especially on that third Tuesday, as we pray for, you know, those that are in recovery, those that need to be in recovery, those family members that have loved ones that struggle with addiction. So I don't know of anybody today that doesn't know somebody that's got a problem with addiction. So all are more than welcome to come and join us on that third Tuesday. And like I say, come down a little bit early and visit our Matt Talbot Shrine. It'd be a great time to do that. We also have a unit in Glenside. We had been meeting over at Our Lady Help of Christians in Abington for a while, and we're actually going to move back to St. Luke's in the month of April. So that third Saturday in April will be the Calyx meeting in Glenside. We go to 8:30 Mass with the parish and then have a Calyx meeting afterwards. That's 8:30 in the morning. On the last Saturday of the month, we have a new Calyx unit. They're getting 30-plus people already at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield, Delaware County. That's on the last Saturday of the month. Father McKay goes out and offers Mass at the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, and then they have their Calyx meeting after that. We also have a group that meets at Queen of the Universe up in Levittown on the first and third Thursday of the month. I believe that's 7 o'clock. If you need more details, you can go to Queen of the Universe website or get in touch with me, and I'll get you the exact details for that meeting as well. So that's all I have in the way of announcements. And I guess once again, God has disappeared from the South Philadelphia, southeastern Pennsylvania areas. We got nobody that's been touched by God, or at least nobody that wants to tell us about it.
We call in. I think about the odder God experiences with Joseph, Ken. You know, when you're trying to sell a house, you know, you buy a statue, bury it, and then, you know, you're looking for a house, you find a house, you know, dig them up and put them on the mantelpiece. They sell like hotcakes, like St. Jude's shop, you know, and there's a lot of stories like that out there. A lot of odder God stories with the intercession of St. Joseph. Maybe someone can call in and share some of those experiences.
Yeah, and while we're waiting, so I mentioned to you before I left last night that I was going to work remotely today because I had a fellow coming out to both my washer and dryer were making sounds that I've never heard a washing machine or a dryer make. And it also, the washer anyway, fooled the Maytag repairman, if you will. He showed up and he never heard the squeal that was coming out of the washer, but basically told me, you know, it's going to squeal until it dies, so when it dies, just go buy a new one. There wasn't anything he could do. But when he took the front of the dryer off, these dimes just showered out of it. There were somehow or other, you know, and I'd love my wife to death, I really do. And but one of the things we've talked about is, you know, check. I know growing up, I was a lazy guy. I would throw my pants in the hamper. And my mother would do the wash. And my mother used to make money because I'd leave money in my pockets. And, you know, whatever she got out of the pockets was hers. And I have begged Sue to check the pockets. And so there was all this change that came flying out of the dryer when he took the front panel off. But what was causing the noise was a screw that I must have had left in my pocket that came loose. And the screw got wedged in between the drum and the front of the dryer, so it was, you know, rattling around as it turned. But like I said, there had to be at least a half a dozen dimes that came flying out of that dryer. And, you know, for those that may not know the story, I don't know if we need to tell the whole story, but when we see dimes, and we get a lot of dime stories on Tuesday nights at our Calyx meeting, it's just a reminder that that God's still there, that despite what's might be going on in your life, God is there. And so whenever we see these dimes, and they tend to jump out or show up in places you don't expect them to, at least for many of us now, that's just that, you know, subtle reminder that, yep, God's right there. He knows what's going on. He's in control. Get out of the driver's seat and climb over in the passenger seat and let him take over. Yeah. So, but the dryer's fixed. Probably have to get a new washer sooner or later, but at least the dryer's fixed. Yeah.
One less headache.
Mm-hmm. So, anywho, nobody on the line, and we've been talking.
Go back to Joseph.
Yeah.
You know, one thing with Joseph, Ken, I always think of, like, G.K. Chesterton, and a convert to Catholicism over really the Blessed Mother. But he had a great line, you know. He said that when the toddler Jesus climbed up on the lap of his mother Mary, and Jesus looked into the eyes of Mary, and Mary looked into the eyes of Jesus, it was God looking at God. And that's powerful, because Mary is a reflection of the Holy Spirit. She's the spouse of the Holy Spirit. And it's even, you know, believed that she was like a quasi-incarnation of the Holy Spirit. That's what marriage is. The two become one. It's almost like the Holy Spirit taking flesh in Mary and her Immaculate Conception, you know. She's just filled with God and filled with the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is God, so it's God looking at God. And I often wonder about when the toddler Jesus climbed up on the lap of Joseph and looked into the eyes of his father, you know. To me, Joseph is a reflection of God the Father. He's hidden, he's humble. Joseph would be the one that would take his son camping, out fishing, outdoors. He would show him the Creator, the stars, the moon, the sunrise, the carpentry. You know, and as you were saying in the beginning too, Ken, that Joseph would, you know, Jesus would have the DND of Joseph. He would admire his father. He would imitate his father. He would get his mannerisms from Joseph. And God the Father is going to pick the best father he possibly can for his son, as he picked the best mother, really, for his son. But that, you know, the Guardian of the Redeemer by Pope St. John Paul II writes about all this. He says, whatever natural inclinations that a father has for a son would be in Joseph, and whatever natural inclinations that a son has, you know, that Jesus had for Joseph, was in Jesus. But I often think that too, Ken, you know, when Angel Gabriel appeared to Mary, and Mary asked the question, well, how can this be? Well, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. By the Holy Spirit, the Word becomes incarnate. And I think about, you know, okay, well, you know, where did Jesus get the genes, you know, and the male genes and male chromosomes? And I believe that the archangel, we don't mention the angel, you know, that talks to Joseph, but I believe that's Michael, because I really believe that Michael is the guardian angel for Joseph, as Gabriel is the guardian angel for Mary, and Raphael is the guardian angel for Jesus. But similar, something would have happened to Joseph. You know, how can this be? Well, there's so much we don't know about Joseph. He's so hidden. And the angel Michael would say, well, the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you and take your chromosomes and your genes and place them there without any kind of, you know, intercourse or sexual encounters, but that it would all happen by the power of the Holy Spirit. But there's just so much to Joseph that we don't know about. He's hidden, just like God the Father is hidden and humble, and it's for a reason. You know, that's why we're supposed to be, too. We're supposed to be hidden. And I think about on Ash Wednesday, when, you know, about giving alms and praying and fasting, and Jesus said, do it hiddenly, and what the Father sees hidden, he will reward us. So it's in that hiddenness of our souls, the secrets that are revealed deep down within us, where our souls are animated by the Holy Spirit, and our souls will animate our bodies, but it's so much work of the Holy Spirit. But again, there's just so much to Joseph, and to me, Joseph is a reflection of God the Father. And when Jesus saw his father Joseph, he thought the Father. And you know, when you say foster father, it doesn't say enough. You know, foster father is to really imply that there was another father, biological father. And I really believe that Joseph is the biological father, supernaturally, of course, but the biological father. And he's even called the Father. And Mary would say, your father and I were looking for you, you know. He has that title, Father. So he is a reflection of God the Father, and so much more that we don't know. Like you say, Ken, someday we can sit down with him and find out all these mysteries.
Amen. You know, it's, again, it as we're talking and we're talking about the things that we more, I guess, believes the right word, or at least think about St. Joseph, it's all that is what you can surmise based on the limited facts that we have in Scripture. And, you know, I got some of this early on in recovery. There was a great man. He passed away far too young. It was from my home parish, Steve Severn. And I had the privilege of being in his company a number of times. I got to go away with him for a couple of weekends. He had a place in the mountains himself. And he gave a talk one night, and he talked about his relationship with St. Joseph. And I believe it was actually on a retreat at Malvern where it started. But he told me about his having a statue of St. Joseph by his front door. And it would remind him when he would leave in the morning to go to work that, you know, he would, you know, to emulate or try to live up to the virtuous life of St. Joseph the worker. And then when he would come back through that door in the evening, it would remind him to be the father and the husband that St. Joseph was. And, you know, he was a model for all of us, for the worker, for the husband, for the to be the father. And after he told me that story, I ended up, I can't tell you how long, it was less than a year, because it was the next time I went to Malvern, I actually picked up a statue of St. Joseph myself. And I had it by my front door for a while. Now it's up on my dresser, so as I'm getting ready for whatever I'm doing that day, I'm constantly reminded of St. Joseph. And what was really odd is it was right after making the consecration this past November. You know, it's kind of an odder God. I came home one day, and the head of St. Joseph was actually sitting next to the statue. And I asked, and I don't know anybody in the nobody claimed to have been in there and knocked it over. But the head of St. Joseph was, you know, is still on top of the chest of drawers, but sitting next to the base of the statue. I was able to glue it back together, but it was just, you know, it was really odd that all, you know, his head just seemed to have come off. And so I recommend that, especially for men. You know, we're usually not the ones necessarily to make altars or prayer spaces in our houses. I think women tend to do that more than men. But, you know, if for the men that are listening, you know, consider it. You can pick up a statue of St. Joseph just about anywhere. Malvern, the St. Jude shop. I'm sure they're available on eBay and anywhere else online. But you know, that'd be a great anchor in your prayer space. And I know it's early. It's only March. Father's Day is a few months away. But for our, those that have a father or a husband and you're looking for something to give them for Father's Day, if you want to make it spiritual, I think a gift of a St. Joseph statue can go a long way in helping the man in your life to maybe grow in that relationship with Joseph and become the father, husband, worker that he can be, that we all can be, you know?
Yeah. That was your own statue, Ken, in your room?
The yep.
Little altar, you said, where the head fell off?
Yep. Yeah, it's up on the top of my chest of drawers. So, you know, when I'm getting dressed in the morning, it's a constant reminder. And yeah, and that I came home one day and the head was off the statue.
You know, what crossed my mind, and I don't mean to make a joke out of this or anything, but I know your devotion to Joseph and how strong that is. And the thing that crossed my mind, like Joseph is saying, that he's in love with you, Ken, head over heels. Head over heels, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And
yep.
That's why I was looking into that. But what a powerful intercessor, though, to go to Joseph, go to Joseph. The little sisters, whenever they needed something, Ken, they would go to Joseph. And it's like they would come to their payroll and they didn't have enough money to pay for their employees. And all of a sudden, somebody would walk in and they called this mystery man like Joseph. They didn't even know his name. He would just give a bag, a paper bag with like thousands of dollars in it. And they would pay off the employees, but they would pray through the intercession of St. Joseph. One time they were having a party and they needed beer. And what they did, they put an empty beer can in front of the statue of St. Joseph, and lo and behold, a beer truck breaks in front of one of the homes of the little sisters of the poor, and they have to unload the beer. So they knock on the door of the little sisters and say, can you use some beer? We have to tow our truck away. And so they get all the beer, you know. But the powerful intercessor. I remember one story where a woman was making a novena at St. Joseph, and it was like 9 days. And her mother said, make it a novena, and you know, St. Joseph will see that you find somebody to fall in love with to marry, because she was getting older. Well, she's on the ninth day in the novena, and she lives in an apartment in New York City, and it doesn't seem to work. So she takes the statue of St. Joseph, and she throws it out the window, high-rising, and it lands on top of a police officer, and he comes up banging on the door, you know, why you threw this out. And all of a sudden, he looks into her eyes, and she looks into his eyes, and it's love at first sight. And that's a true story. But the power of, you know, the powerful intercession of St. Joseph. And the other thing, Ken, is just family. You know, go back to that nativity scene, you know, Joseph getting everything ready, and how Mary and Joseph, they forget about themselves, you know. That's what the model of the family, you know, just to take care of one another. I always use that acronym, you know, FAMILY, family. Forget about me, I love you. And that's what they show us. They love one another wholeheartedly. And that's what family is, that we love one another wholeheartedly. And we're all members of the one eternal family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, God's eternal children of the Father. He has no grandchildren. We're all his children. There's only one race, the human race. And we're all brothers and sisters and children of our Heavenly Father, of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, Ken.
Amen. And you know, you mentioned forget about me, I love you. And it, you know, we spent a lot of time at our Calyx meeting last night talking about love. And, you know, God is love. And, you know, so many of us that struggle with addiction, you know, really didn't have a real idea of what love truly was, especially sacrificial love. Many of us were so selfish and prideful and what have you that, you know, we didn't want to sacrifice anything for anybody for fear that we'd be given something up. And yet that's what we're called to, that sacrificial love, that, you know, giving up my priorities for my wife, for my kids, for those that need help with addiction and what have you. And that doesn't mean that we abandon all the important things in our own lives, because certainly God needs us to do things in order to take care of ourselves. If we don't take care of ourselves, we're useless to anybody else. But, you know, the idea that we give up, you know, our own desires, our own wants in order to help those that, you know, depend on us, you know, our wives, our spouses, our kids, our parents, as they get older, you know, whoever it may be. And, you know, that's to me today, that's the key to the key to life, to approach everyone, everything in life with love. And that doesn't mean that I'm perfect at it, but I pray for it each morning, that, you know, whoever God happens to put in my path, that I treat them with the respect and the love that they deserve, and certainly the way that I want to be respected and loved. But to have even that thought in my life today is so far from where I was 30 years ago. And I know that many of the folks that are listening, that, you know, a lot of them tend to be in recovery themselves, and I know that they identify with that we go from being the most selfish, arrogant, pride-filled people that ever walked the planet to actually going out of their way to help, and oftentimes complete strangers. And I know sometimes it's easier to help the stranger than it is to help somebody we know well, because we know all their foibles and you know, their quirks, we know their past and what have you. So we may be more reluctant to help people that are closest to us, but we have no problem helping the strangers. And you know, I've been accused more than once by family members, you know, that I treat other people, I treat strangers better than I treat them. And, you know, sometimes I get called to task on it, and I got to, you know, step back and take a look at my behavior and the things that I've done and how I'm handling myself in all situations, not just when I'm in a 12-step meeting or a Calyx meeting or doing something at the parish or with the ministry. But I need to try to do it all the time with everyone, and especially with my loved ones.
Yeah, just keep loving, Ken. Mm. I was thinking, too, like the worker. We were talking about the Sabbath yesterday at Mass and how Jesus would break the Sabbath laws, our love, you know, that law of love. And I was saying about, you know, people would argue and take it so literal, like, you know, the Sabbath. And but when it comes to love of one another, we break the laws. It's called epike. The greatest law is the law of love. And all the other laws help us to keep that one law of love. And that's all God wants from us. That's the only thing we can really give to him is our love. But even when you look at God rested on the seventh day, well, God the Father never really rested, you know. Mm-hmm. If he rested, there'd be no sunrise on the seventh day, no rivers flowing, no bait, it goes on and on, like all these blessings. And it's the work of God the Father and also the work of Jesus, that Jesus even said, I do the works of the Father. So these wonderful works, there's a story, you know, Father Loughran of happy memory, I remember him giving a homily on St. Joseph's Day, and he was saying, after the divine rendezvous, when Jesus is coming home, he first seeks out Joseph, and he finds him working on the table and chairs for a poor family. And he says, Dad, I'm home. And Joseph drops everything and says, Son, welcome home. And he embraces him in love. And after a warm embrace, Jesus says to him, I see you're about our Father's business. Yes, son, says Joseph. And then Jesus and Joseph, they finish up the table and chairs for the poor. But Joseph is always at work for us, and so is Jesus and the Father, and their wonderful works. And we, too, need to do our works. And I really believe the greatest work of all is just surrendering in faith, you know, letting God take care of us, that we can't do anything without the Lord, and to remember that we're all members of that holy family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, now and forevermore.
Amen. Well, we got it just about a minute and a half left, Father. So any final words on Joseph?
No, I think that's about it for me, Ken.
All right, pal. It's funny, when it rains, it pours. Last week, we were running out of time and having to cut people off from calls. And today, I guess the weather must be a little better or something. I'm sure they'll be back. As always, it's certainly great to be with you. It's hard to believe. I think it was March. I can't remember now if it was 6 years or 7 years that Kathleen asked us to start doing this show. And I know from the people we run into at various venues that they are out there listening, and we certainly appreciate. Appreciate it when they either call into the show or let us know that they listen. And it's been a great run, and we'll continue doing it as long as Kathleen will have us, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
So how about a blessing?
Yeah, Ken, I just wanted to end with the glorious Hail Mary Jesus prayer, to show that the three hearts are always together. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Hail Mary and Joseph, full of grace. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women and men, and blessed is the fruit of your Son, Jesus. Holy Mary and Saint Joseph, Mother and Father of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Amen.
Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
God bless everyone. Thanks, Ken.
Thanks, Father. For our listeners, I'd ask you to stick around for the next hour. Our guest, Peter DePalma, is already on the line, and we'll get right to it when we come back from the break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.